All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the end of Proverbs chapter 31. This is our sixth and last message from a sermon series on in the book of Proverbs. We start in Proverbs 3 looking at the call to trust and fear Yahweh, the Lord. And in Proverbs 8, that wisdom is calling. Wisdom personified as a woman who's calling out, and are we listening? In Proverbs 15, are we embracing the tongue of the wise or the mouth of a fool? In Proverbs 16, our human plans in light of Yahweh's sovereign reign. In Proverbs 29, the blessing of vision-inspired obedience. Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. We looked at the greatness and glory of God and the gospel and Jesus and His supremacy and all that the prophetic vision of Scripture gives us and the motivation that gives us to keep or obey the Torah, the instruction of godly people and so forth. And that brings us to the title of today's message from Proverbs 31, Fearing the Lord Amidst the Captivating Blessing of a Proverbs 31 Woman. Our first message in this sermon series was on trusting and fearing the Lord, and our last message will end on a similar theme. Because Proverbs begins in chapter 1 and it ends in chapter 31 on this theme, fearing the Lord. Obeying, honoring, revering Him, not living in being afraid of God, but fearing Him in the sense of the call to obey and honor and revere Him above all things and everyone else. And the book of Proverbs ends on a climactic note, with God giving us an example par excellence of what wisdom looks like fleshed out in daily life. And the example God gives us is the Proverbs 31 woman. And we see the captivating blessing that comes when we follow in her inspirational footsteps. And so for our purposes today, we'll begin by reading verse 30 and 31. And we'll look at some of the other verses along the way. And bear in mind that as we read this and look at Proverbs 31, that the end of Proverbs, verses 10 through 31, is it's an acrostic. It's a poem where each verse begins with one of the 22 letters from the Hebrew alphabet. So if this was in English, then the first verse we're going to read would start with A. The last verse would start with Z. And it has the idea of an all-encompassing what wisdom looked like. So to begin with, we'll look at verse 30 and 31, and then we'll back up during the message. Proverbs 31, starting verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Father, we praise you as the God of wisdom, the God, the Lord Yahweh, who we're called to fear, and who gives us wisdom, godly skill for godly living, as we obey you and honor you and revere you. In the power of the Spirit, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, hallelujah. Do a sanctifying work in us this hour. Empower us for another week of worship and witness. And doing the good works that you've created us in Christ Jesus for. May the godly women in our midst be praised and encouraged. And may we follow in their footsteps and their example. As together the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, you come shining through, Jesus, for your glory, for the beauty of your bride, and for the salvation of the lost world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have four key thoughts or main points today. No subpoints, but here we go. Number one, embrace the call to wisdom by fearing the Lord, Yahweh, the name God revealed himself to his people. Again, in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. We'll come back to that. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs ends on the same theme it begins with, fearing the Lord and the wisdom that comes out of that. Back in chapter 1, verse 7, I'll start in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear an increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise, and hear riddles. So Proverbs is written so that young people would embrace wisdom, so that those who are wise would seek more wisdom. One of the marks of being wise is that you're seeking more wisdom. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and destruction. This emphasis on the fear of the Lord. In chapter 1, we find it in different places in Proverbs. That theme comes up again at the end in Proverbs 31. The fear of the Lord. We saw this in our first message from chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Be not wise in our own eyes. Humility. Fearing the Lord. Revering Him. Honoring Him. Obeying Him. Above all things. Which includes a recognition that He's Lord, He's Judge, and we're accountable to Him, and we will face Him one day. Are we ready? Fearing the Lord. And if we are humbling ourselves in our own eyes and fearing the Lord, we will be turning away from evil by God's grace. The opposite of what those who are doing, who are going down the crooked path, rather than the righteous or wise path expounded upon in Proverbs. We're trusting in the Lord with all our heart. We're living like Ruth or Boaz or Naomi, embracing steadfast love and faithfulness. We are like the son who remembers the teaching of his mother and the instruction of his father and keeps their godly commands. Hallelujah. So as we end this sermon series on Proverbs, once again, may we take to heart the call to fear the Lord. We will obey Him. We will revere Him. We will worship Him. We will honor Him. We will stand in awe. We will recognize. We will humble ourselves and recognize that He's Lord, He's Judge, we are not. We'll fear the Lord. And recognizing that out of that rises a wisdom to know the Lord, to understand ourselves, and to know how to live. In Proverbs, wisdom is not just this knowledge, but it's a godly skill to know what's right and how to live it out. And it rises out of a relationship of us with Yahweh as we obey Him, we honor Him, we revere Him. Hallelujah. Main point 2. Repent of and guard against deception and sinful pleasures in our hearts and in the world. Back now to chapter 31. Charm is deceitful. Verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. This is written right after a description of the Proverbs 31 woman. We're going to take a look at that in a moment. But Scripture says charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Charm can be used as a good thing, but it can be deceitful, where we are saying something in a way to influence people, to get their attention, to captivate them. And then we have an ulterior motive. This is how the world operates. Sometimes we can operate this way. And we can charm people. We can win them over and so forth. But it's deceitful. It might look good or sound good what's being offered to us, but it's heading us down the crooked path or the path of the wicked rather than the righteous or the wise. Back in chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, verse 15, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Jumping ahead to chapter 5. In Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman, but also there's the description of the adulterous woman. Verse 1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman or strange foreign woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, the grave. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. Charm is deceitful. Sin is enticing. We need to repent of it because, first of all, it's in our hearts. And we need to guard against it. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Outward beauty in and of itself is meaningless. It's fleeting. It's not going to last. Now, it's a great thing to have outward beauty. The Song of Solomon praises that. But without godliness, it's meaningless. And it's oftentimes used for wickedness. Charm is deceitful. Let's repent of that when it's in us. Let's be on guard against it. And let our eyes, the beauty that we're looking for, be a beauty that rises out of godliness, out of holiness, out of Christ-likeness, out of a Proverbs 31 woman. Let's repent of the tendency that we have to be attracted to things that charm us, that entice us, and to beauty as the world sees it, rather than beauty as described by God. So on that note, main point number 3. Follow in the inspirational footsteps of a Proverbs 31 woman, rewarding and honoring her accordingly. Proverbs has an overall focus on sons. This comes up multiple times. Right off the bat, chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, or Torah, the law. We saw that last Sunday. And again, chapter 31, verse 2. What are you doing, my son? Or King Lo Mao's reciting a poem or teaching from his mother. However, the call goes out for all people, women and men, young and old, in Proverbs. As we saw again back in chapter 1, that it's written, it's many times directed to sons, and it has that overall theme. But it's also written to young people overall and to the wise who want more wisdom. Again, chapter 1, verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain prudence. A godly school for living. Hallelujah. And interestingly, in a book written with a focus on sons, and with an overarching theme of wisdom, the climactic ending in the 22 verses here in Proverbs 31 is focused on what's known in our Christian subculture as the Proverbs 31 woman. There's ministries and websites named after it, Proverbs 31 Ministries. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Proverbs, it's a captivating, inspiring, humbling, at times unnerving book, loaded with wisdom, with conviction, with encouragement, with blessing. It ends on a climactic note. And the example par excellence is the Proverbs 31 woman. In other words, after 30 chapters of wisdom calling out, and at times as wisdom being personified as a woman, and giving us instructions for our hearts, for the words of our mouth, what we do with our money, how we care for the poor, how we respond to the fool, or if we do, how we bless our enemies, how we embrace wisdom over folly, purity over adultery, hard work over laziness, saving up over taking the shortcut, and the priority of embracing godly parental teaching. After all that, the God-breathed scriptures and this book of wisdom with a woman is the example par excellence. I understand when sometimes a woman might say, this chapter is depressing. I read verses 10 through 31, and I feel like here's the Proverbs 31 woman, and here's me. And probably all of us, especially if we have any sense of humility, when we read different passages of Scripture, can feel that way at times. But when we come to the New Testament, it, in one sense, it doesn't get any easier. Because then the call is to Christ's likeness, which of course the Old Testament's been pointing us to, but now it's being revealed. But this all points to the good news of the gospel, part of which we just celebrated in the Lord's Supper. We've all fallen short of the Proverbs 31 standard. We've all fallen short of the righteous life that we're called to live in order to earn eternal life. That's why we can't do it. And that righteousness is found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not earned. We don't deserve it. We can't get it ourselves. It's declared to us. It's a righteousness counted to us when we believe by faith in Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and ask Him to forgive our sins. God declares us righteous. The righteousness He lived and earned for us is given to us, and the sin, the penalty, that wrath that we deserve to suffer, it's paid for, it's changed to favor. Hallelujah, the good news of the gospel. We have the righteousness of Christ, whether to whatever degree we are or are not living up to it. Hallelujah, we're saved, we're forgiven, we're a new creation in Christ. And also with that, when we believe on the Lord Jesus, we are entering into a relationship with God in which we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out the life He calls us to live, which includes giving us the humility to repent when we fall short, because we still do. So it's not just, hey, now that I'm a Christian, God sees me as righteous, so it doesn't matter how I live. No, all the more, let's live according to the grace that has saved us, and do so in the Spirit's power with our eyes fixed on Jesus for the glory of God the Father. Amen. Earlier in Proverbs, when sons are being addressed, as we saw earlier in this sermon series, that doesn't mean that those words are only for sons. They have a word for sons, but if you're a woman and say, oh, well, your sons are being instructed, so it doesn't matter to me. No, if you're a woman, you should first of all ask yourself, to whatever degree are the principles or teachings that are said to the sons, do they apply to me at all? And second of all, am I living in a way that would encourage sons to live out what they're being taught? Likewise, for us men, when we come to the end of Proverbs, we would do well to ask ourselves, are we living our lives in a way that encourages the women around us to be a Proverbs 31 woman? And are we following in the inspirational footsteps of a Proverbs 31 woman ourselves, and then giving her the reward and honor that's due? In other words, again, if we want to see what the 30 chapters of Proverbs looks like fleshed out, come to the end of Proverbs, look at this poem from verses 22 to 31. And take to heart the life of a Proverbs 31 woman and follow in her inspirational footsteps. And for the women and men among us, when we read a passage like this, yes, be humbled, fall on our knees, and cry out, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. But don't stop there. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit, by the fellowship of the church, through accountability and encouragement, feeding on the scriptures and praying, and live the godly righteous life that God calls us to live. And when we fall short again, we repent. And when we don't fall short, or when we've had godly success and we're bearing fruit, we stay humble. First of all, recognizing there's sin we may not even see in us. Second of all, we don't want to grow more prideful. We got enough pride as it is. We want to repent of the sin that's there, and we want to be on guard against that sin coming back or new sins coming in. And so in the Spirit's power, with our eyes on Jesus for the glory of God, we repent and we go forward, seeking to live a righteous life, following after the example par excellence of a Proverbs 31 woman. The example of the godly, divinely inspired picture that the book of Proverbs ends on. A climactic ending showing us what biblical wisdom looks like, lived out in our daily lives. She looks like a Proverbs 31 woman. So here's a few examples. We jump back to verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. Excellent wife, it can be translated noble or worthy woman as well. Noble is a word used in the Old Testament to describe military men. In fact, Proverbs uses some military language here in Proverbs 31 to describe the woman and her character and her strength. And this excellent, worthy, or noble description is also given by Boaz for Ruth. It's the same word translated worthy in Ruth 3, verse 11. And now, my daughter, Boaz says to Ruth, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Ruth, who left her relatives to go with her mother-in-law Naomi back to Bethlehem, and who sacrificially lived her life to bless her mother-in-law Naomi, because Naomi's husband had died. Her sons had died, one of which was Ruth. And she goes back and she lives out the Proverbs 31 type of life. And it gets people's attention, and Boaz rightly praises her and calls her an excellent or noble or worthy woman. And it's worth noting that if you're reading in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament books are in a different order. And when you finish reading Proverbs 31, the next book is the book of Ruth. And verse 10, back in chapter 31, asks regarding an excellent wife or a noble woman, asks this question, who can find? And in one sense, the answer is like, well, after reading this description, well, I don't know who can find. But we can find such a woman by God's grace. Such women are all around us. Do they fall short? Yes. Do they always live up to every verse in this poem? No. But by the grace of God, this is who you are in Christ. This is who God is making you to be, and this is who we as a local church are. Hallelujah. And when we fall short, we repent. And this description in verses 10 through 31 is the biblical ideal. It's an all-encompassing description. No woman or man fully lives this out. But just like we're called to a holy life, or we're called to Christ's likeness that we never fully achieve in this life, we're called to follow in the inspirational footsteps of a Proverbs 31 woman in living out what Proverbs teaches us about wisdom and fearing the Lord. And this also points to us as the body of Christ, where we live out our Christian lives in the fellowship of local church. As we see the Proverbs 31 woman shining through the women of our church as well as the men, as together we make up the bride of Christ. A couple other thoughts here. Verse 11 and 12, the heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life, blessing her husband. And not all women will be married. In this example, she's an excellent wife. She seeks wool and flax, verse 13, works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Which, by the way, if you tend to lean one direction or another in terms of what the roles of women are, Proverbs 31 will confront all of it. It describes her in godliness and also as strong. And she's making money. She's earning income for the family. She's also devoted to her husband and her children. And it's a blessing to all around her. It's a blessing to read about. It's a blessing when in the Spirit's power we live it out. Verse 17, she dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night, even though she also rises at night. You're like, when does she sleep? Again, it's a picture of an ideal. And only as the body of Christ are we ultimately living this out, and by the grace of God. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. That's like back in chapter 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. The Proverbs 31 woman did not. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. I'm not afraid of snow. I love snow. But in this context, it would be threatening, especially depending on the weather and the context and so forth. She's a woman who is She cares about her family, but she doesn't live in fear. Again, back in chapter 3, that's like verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. The Proverbs 31 woman was not. She wasn't afraid of snow. She wasn't afraid of the dangers that might come. Doesn't mean that she would never have feelings of fear, but her fear did not control her. Because she's a wise woman who trusts in Yahweh. Verse 22, she makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. In contrast to the adulterous woman who would use bed coverings to entice men into sin. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So her godliness is raising him in the eyes of those around them. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Some in our culture today work too much. They love money. They love their careers or whatever. They're just lost in work. It can be in ministry. Just always doing ministry, always doing work. Other people, it's the opposite. They just want the shortcut. They want a handout. They want to live off the government. The Proverbs 31 woman. She worked hard. She cared for her family. She didn't eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Let's follow in the inspirational footsteps of a Proverbs 31 woman. Men, let's live in a way that, first of all, we're embracing that ourselves. Second of all, we're living in a way that would bless the women to do so. And women, may you embrace this. And yeah, it's humbling and challenging, but also be inspired, be encouraged. At the end of Proverbs, God is giving us the example par excellence of what wisdom looks like, and he gives us Proverbs 31 woman to show it. And let's reward and honor the Proverbs 31 women among us. As it says in verse 31, let's be like the Apostle Paul, who oftentimes would point out women and men and honor them for their work. Romans 16, verse 1, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a servant or deacon of the church of Synchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever way she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. And if you read on in chapter 16, he mentions multiple people by name, including some women. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Or in Philippians chapter 4, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Two of the leading women in the church who are having some type of agreement. And then he says, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel. Let's reward and honor the Proverbs 31 women among us. Last main point, number 4, we are the bride of Christ. When we come to a passage like this, we do well to think in terms of not only us as individuals and women and men and so forth, but to ask ourselves to be reminded, first of all, we're the bride of Christ. Paul alludes to that in Ephesians 5. I'll read a passage here in Revelation 19 in a moment. Jesus, in the parable in Matthew chapter 25, refers to himself as the bridegroom. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And if you read on, you find out that only 5 of the virgins are ready when the bridegroom returns. We're the bride of Christ. By God's grace, may our local church and may the bride of Christ around the world be living out and following in the inspirational footsteps of the Proverbs 31 woman. Because we too are a bride. The bride of Christ. And I'll sum it up this way. We are the bride of Christ, first of all, who will be found ready when our bridegroom returns. Here's a word of encouragement for us. Revelation chapter 19. At the end of the age, John has this vision. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude. Verse 6. like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. Crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Jesus loves His bride. We're His bride as Christians. We're the church. He loves us, but we are really messed up. We really fall short. But God is working in us now, and He's working in a way that when this bridegroom returns, the bride will have made herself ready. Be encouraged. God is working in us now, and He has a plan, and He will fulfill that plan. Also, we are the bride of Christ who, by God's grace, has clothed herself with righteous deeds, like the Proverbs 31 woman. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. The bride of Christ, doing good works, living out righteous deeds, clothing herself. But notice, it was granted her. She clothes herself by God's grace. First of all, the righteousness of Christ that is given to us, imputed, declared. And then, in the Spirit's power, we live out a righteous life. We do good works that's been granted to us by the grace of God. And He covers us when we fall short. And He empowers us to do the godliness we are doing. And this is what true beauty is. What godly clothing looks like. Righteous deeds. The life of a Proverbs 31 woman. And then finally, we are the bride of Christ. Rejoice, exalt, and give God glory. As it says here, the wedding of the marriage, or the wedding of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready. And that's why verse 7 starts off, let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory. Rejoice, we're the bride of Christ. God's working in us now, and He will have His bride ready when Jesus returns. Exalt in that. Not in an arrogant way, but boast in the Lord and give God glory because He's the one that's done it. Hallelujah. So let's be a people that fears the Lord amidst the captivating beauty of a Proverbs 31 woman. Looking at that picture, seeing it lived out in the lives of the women in our church as well as the men overall. Being reminded that we are the bride of Christ and we're called to live lives of righteous deeds as we proclaim the good news of the gospel to the lost world around us, rejoicing, exulting, and giving God glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray.